Welcome, brethren, to this first day of unleavened bread. We kept the Passover 36 hours ago. In New Testament time frame, Jesus was put in the grave yesterday afternoon, and he was dead, and is dead now, waiting for the 3 days and three nights to be completed before his resurrection. So let's go back and look at when the Passover was instituted. Thank you. And we go back to Exodus 5, verse 1 to 3. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice or let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of heaven has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall on us with pestilence or with sword." So the Passover that was celebrated, we find in Exodus 12, as a culmination of a whole series of events. And this Exodus 5 is where the whole thing started. God set appointments to meet with him throughout history. There were penalties from God if they didn't keep the feast. But why go into the desert to sacrifice? The reason, there was a very good reason. Some of the animals that were to be sacrificed were sacred to the Egyptians. The sacrifices would be highly offensive to the Egyptians if they were done in their sight. For example, the bull was one of their god called Apis. So let's look briefly at the first plague, which is found in Exodus 7, verse 15. So God said, "Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goes unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's bank against he come. And the rod that which was turned to a serpent shall you take in your hand." So Moses and Aaron were going to meet Pharaoh at the river Nile. The Nile was sacred to various gods, Hapi, Apis, and Osiris, the chief god. It was life to the Egypt. And this ceremony took place in June, before they built the Aswan Dam across the Nile. The Nile used to rise and brought the sediment down from the highlands that provided irrigation and fertilizer for the crops. This festival of the rising of the Nile took place on the 12th of June. In verse 17, Moses turned the Nile River to blood as a judgment on the Egyptians for throwing the young Israelites' boys into the river to be eaten by the crocodiles, as it said in Exodus 1:22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So all the people were involved in this terrible slaughter. I won't go into the other plagues, but they were in fact an attack on every single god of Egypt. And they also destroyed the Egyptians' economy. For example, the plague that killed all the cattle. All the plagues took place between June of one year and April the following year. This was 10 months of a series of blows to Egypt as a country, the leaders, the people, and the economy. Now we come to Exodus 12 and the Passover. As I say, it was a culmination of almost a year of catastrophes. All the people of Israel were to take a lamb on the 10th of Nisan and keep it till the 14th of Nisan. and sacrifice it on the 14th of Nisan in the evening. And the expression "in the evening" means in ancient Jewish tradition what we would call the afternoon, between noon and sunset. Do you realize that in Jesus' day there were almost over two and a half million people assembling in Jerusalem for the Passover? And if you think of 10 people eating one lamb, that's 250,000 lambs to be slaughtered. They not only were slaughtered, they had to have their blood poured out on the altar. 250,000. There's no way they could accomplish that between noon and sunset, so it probably went on all day. And in Exodus 12 verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. And in verse 8, they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Israel was commanded to eat the lambs that night," which would have been if they were slain in the afternoon of the 14th. The lambs would have been eaten the evening of the 15th. You remember in the Bible the days started in the evening at sunset. And they were not only were they to eat it, but they were to eat it in a certain way. "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It's like saying, eat the lamb with your coat and hat on, and your shoes, and your umbrella, ready to go out. It says in verse 12, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." This was also a way of showing who was God, because remember, the Israelites had been in the land of Egypt for a long time, subject to their gods, influenced by their gods. So he's trying to break the tie between the gods of Egypt and the people. He says he will pass over, and this is an interesting scripture in Isaiah 31 verse 5. "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, defending also, he will deliver it, passing over it, he will preserve it, like eagle's wings, sort of passing over and protecting the people." The blood was proof that they were God's servants and would be seen by God. As I say, this is a judgment on the gods of Egypt. He's trying to break those beliefs. This was probably, verses 14 to 20 was probably written after Moses left Egypt. It says, verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you from a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away unleaven out of your houses," or should say, should have put away. "For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel." They had to, as I say, they had to leave in a hurry. So in verse 39 it explains, "And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared themselves any victual." The way they made bread was from a little starter of yeast which was put into the bread, into the mix, and given time. They needed a certain amount of time for the mix to spread throughout the loaf before it was baked. So they had no time to eat that. However, leavened bread could be eaten that day, the 14th, but it had to be removed from the home by sunset. There were high Sabbaths on the first and last days of unleavened bread. And it came to pass, in verse 29, that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. The Egyptians had a way of... had a common view of inheritance. It was the firstborn who inherited. So if you lose all your firstborn, it's a catastrophe for inheritance. It had great implications for the country, because all the firstborn were prepared and trained to take over the family. Every family was affected. God said Israel was his firstborn in Exodus 4:22, and thus you shall say to Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So God killed the firstborn of Egypt in judgment for killing of the young males of Israel, of Egypt. At this point, the Egyptians, this happened at midnight, at this point the Egyptians were terrified and rushed to push the people out of Israel, people of Israel, out of their country with any way they can. And if the Israelites said, well, you know, that ring of gold or that necklace of jewels would be nice, so they say, go, take it, get out of here. And all this gold and silver and jewels were in fact used in the tabernacle in the wilderness later on. It says in verse 30, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as you have said, and take all your flocks. And verse 33, the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they may send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. They thought it was going to get worse again. So the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and the Lord gave them favor. Remember, they'd been slaves for a long time and they'd never been paid for all their work, all the cities that they'd been building. So this was, in a sense, payment for their work. And there were actually 2 million people on the move. It talks about 600,000 men, but if you remember, there were women and children and strangers. They were on the move. Now in verse 40 it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. In the Septuagint version, which is the version that the Jews authorized to be translated into Greek in Egypt about 200 BC, the Septuagint version adds the phrase after, who dwelt in Egypt and the land of Canaan. And that's what makes sense, because they weren't in Egypt for 400 years. They were only in Egypt for just over 200 years. But actually, this is referring back. It talks about going out the self-same day and 430 years. And it refers back, well, actually I read it in verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So what's it referring back to, 430 years? Well, if you go back, to Genesis 15, verse 9 to 16, where Abraham made a sacrifice and were given promises of ownership of the land in a dream. The Jewish tradition has this as the date on which the Passover was later kept, and that's probably correct. It includes a prophecy in Genesis 15, if you read it carefully, promises of affliction of 400 years. Now, there's a difference of 30 years between what was told to Abraham and what Moses said, and presumably the 30 years were when Joseph was in charge of Egypt and they wouldn't have been persecuted. The night they left, we celebrated last night. It was going to take them 7 days to get out of Egypt. And instead of going the normal direct route to Palestine, which would be up along the coast, they went south into the desert. Verse 42, it's a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And in the next chapter, in verse chapter 13, it says, they had to redeem the firstborn of the people and animals because they belonged to God. Because God said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, wherever opens a womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. They paid actually a sum for their firstborn children, but they offered to the temple later on the firstborn of the animals, the clean animals. And they were commanded to keep the feast of... And it says, we are the church of the firstborn. So we have become the firstborn, as Israel was. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 23... to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. They were commanded to keep the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. On the seventh day, they crossed the Red Sea. That was the dramatic event they were moving towards. For us, we are the firstborn. We have become strangers, as the Israelites were in Egypt. We've become strangers in this world. And Hebrews 12 talks about that. Egypt became synonymous with sin. The prophets constantly warned Israel and Judah for looking to Egypt for help and about going back to Egypt. In Jeremiah 42, verse 19... Jeremiah said, when Judah was wanting to go back to Egypt, the Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go you not to Egypt. No, certainly I have admonished you this day. In Egypt, Jerusalem was compared to Egypt and Sodom because they were committing the same sins. There's a reference to this in Revelation 11 after the... two witnesses are killed. It says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So Egypt became synonymous with sin. As the Israelites came out of Egypt, they were guided by God in the pillar of smoke in the daytime and the pillar of fire at night. So we have, as we come out of sin, so we have God with us. So we must renew. This is the time of renewal. And renew our journey out of sin. They took 7 days. It takes us a whole lifetime. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 to 8, we must be cleansed spiritually, be getting our daily strength through the unleavened bread of God's word. Your glorying is not good, Paul says. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul points spiritual lessons to the meaning of unleavened bread. Paul went through a life of difficulties and trials, but see what he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward men perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, for the things which are not seen are eternal. We need a spiritual focus. We're getting old physically, but we must renew our spiritual life on a daily basis. We must be striving with God's help to put our old conduct and habits and have our minds renewed, to think as God thinks, to speak godly words and to behave as God commands. In Ephesians 4 verse 20, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness, cleanliness and greediness. Talking about the Gentiles. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We are to put off the old wrong characteristics and practices and become like Christ, who is the firstborn of us all. Colossians 3 verse 8 to 11 and 12 and 14. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Christ is all in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Children model on people they know and see. Our model is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He is our supreme example, our supermodel.